Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
For a person, a messenger, to come forward and to just say, I am a messenger of God. I had a dream where God told me that this or this or this, this is not worth anything.
Yes.
Any da'wah that has a messenger, a caller, who is calling people to something, and he doesn't claim that his name was mentioned by a previous prophet or messenger, his call is worth nothing.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة والمهديين وسلم تسليما. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته, Father.
Good to have you back, Tiffany.
Thank you so much for having me back today.
So, Tiffany, we're going to continue our conversations and our search for the truth between the religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And it's a really important topic, and that's why we're focusing on it, because in these religions, and not just them, but also in other religions, but just for the sake of focusing on those three today in this episode, you have these men that are coming forward, these people that are coming forward, and they have a great claim, and the claim is that they are sent by God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And each and every one of them that comes, they kind of give humanity this message. It's a glad tidings that if you follow the message in which they bring, you will attain eternal salvation and enjoy paradise, and God will be pleased with you, the same God that created you. But if you choose to abandon or reject the message or the messenger, then it is the same as if you are rejecting the God who created you and the God who sent the messenger.
Yes.
And the end of that will not be good. You're going to end up, you know, gaining the wrath of the God who created you and who sent these messengers. And so it becomes of the utmost importance for a person to be able to know where the truth lies. I think for the most part, the followers of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the followers of all of these three major religions, the true followers, the ones who believe in it, I think they're, for the most part, sincere people. And they all have one thing in common, and that is that they really believe that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to do what's right. Yeah. And unfortunately, each group ends up coming to a different conclusion than the other one. And most of the time, those who are born into a particular religion will just not even take the time to investigate or question or search out or see what else is out there, because they have so much faith in that which they were taught since the time that they were little kids, or that which their parents and their family members and their beloved ones were upon. And so they risk thereby dismissing, a messenger who might actually be true from God.
Yeah.
There's also this fear that, you know, you might end up falling into the pit or the hole of following a messenger who's not from God, a charlatan or a heister, or somebody who is trying to sell you something in order to deceive you or gain from you something physical or in this material world. And I think that also stops a lot of people, from searching in the truth. And certainly a lot of Jews, they dismiss Jesus because of that, because they're afraid that he's that he's a liar. And a lot of Christians, they dismiss the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, because they believe that, you know, they think he might be a liar. And that's why you always have, you know, people that are playing also on these fears and associating Muhammad with the Antichrist or with the beast, or, you know, and associating Jesus, you know, with the warnings that the prophets gave of false prophets to come or false messiahs.
Yes, for sure.
So if it is true that these messengers came from God, that God created Adam, and all of the messengers that are mentioned in the Old Testament, you know, whether it's Adam, whether it's Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whether it is the Israelite prophets and kings, David, Solomon, Jonah, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, Micah, any of them, if all of these people, if we assume that they really are from God, and we want to know whether or not, you know, Christianity is a continuation of that, you know, because the Jews, they stop at a certain point, and they don't recognize some of the people that come after that point. So the last Hebrew prophet is Malachi, mm-hmm. That they believe in, and then after that, there still continues to come several messengers that are recognized in Christianity and in Islam, but are not recognized in Judaism. And a couple of those are Zechariah,
yes,
John the Baptist,
yes,
and then obviously Jesus.
Yes.
So if we want to entertain the thought, you know, and it's one of the signs of wisdom that a person could entertain a thought without fully accepting it, because perhaps that's where the truth lies. So if we have some wise Jewish people that would like to entertain the thought of whether or not Jesus is really, and these messengers are part of, you know, a continuation, if they are true prophets and messengers, you know, or the Messiah from God, then they have to see parallels that are existing between what their claim and what they bring, and between what the previous prophets and messengers claimed and brought.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing in regards to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There has to be a thread that is binding the all of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, the three religions and all of the prophets and messengers from these religions. There has to be one that is there. There has to be a way to tell whether or not somebody is truly from God or is not from God.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Otherwise, it would be unjust to expect that people could know. Yes.
Exactly. Otherwise, it would be unjust and it would be unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. God has to give you a way. Otherwise, how would you distinguish between a true messenger and a false messenger? I mean, or a false claimant, because it's warned about, Jesus himself warned about false teachers coming forward. But he also, he didn't say that there wouldn't be true ones. So of course there must be a system that God has so that people can figure out who's being truthful, who's truly from God and who's not.
Exactly. Well, one of those ways which we're going to focus on today is this idea of an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
A letter of appointment,
mm-hmm.
that this idea that creatures don't have the ability to know who the true messenger from God is unless they are told by God or somebody that God has sent and verified for them.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we find that in the very beginning, in the story of Adam and Eve and the angels, You know, at least in the Quranic narrative, it's very clear that God says to the angels, "Inni ja'alun fil ardi khalifa." Verily, I'm going to make in the earth a caliph, a successor, a vice chair. So God is saying, I'm the one who appoints.
Yeah.
Okay? And then God says, Usjudu li'adam fasajadu. God says, prostrate to Adam. Obey Adam. He is the one. And he also tells the angels, if I blow in him from my spirit, then fall down in prostration, right?
Yes.
So God is clarifying for the angels very clearly. He's telling them, the moment that I blow in him from my spirit, so I'm living in him, okay? Mm-hmm. When I do that, this messenger of mine, you must obey. You must prostrate to him because that's where my spirit will be. And he is a messenger for me. So they wouldn't have known otherwise, but God speaks to them and clarifies. He makes it clear. He makes it known for all those people to hear.
Yes, yeah.
And then after that, you have, whether in the Jewish narrations or in the Islamic narrations, and even in some Christian narrations, you have this idea that each and every one of the prophets and the messengers that came, they appoint and anoint the one that's to come after them.
Yes.
And you have so many prominent examples of this fact taking place and happening.
Yeah.
You find the Israelites incapable of knowing who it is that God appointed, and yet at the same time believing that God has to appoint somebody.
Yeah.
And so the only way that they would be able to identify this person is by going back to the messenger that they already know is from God because he was already established by the one that came before them.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So they seek David, you know, to know, for him to tell them who is going to come after him.
Yes.
And David tells them, Solomon's going to come after me.
Yeah.
And why do they seek David's advice and are at peace with that? Because David was already anointed for them and appointed by Samuel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
And as such, the cycle goes back, right?
Yes.
Samuel himself was appointed and you have this, it's a very clear theme.
Yes, exactly. It's all throughout the Old Testament. You'll find these stories of the prophet or messenger appointing the one who came next or going through the ceremony of anointment. And the significance of it is that the Spirit of God then resides in that person. So, yeah, it is. I mean, it's undeniable for a Christian or a believer in the Jewish faith to deny this concept. It's absolutely throughout the scriptures.
Yeah. And the same thing happens in the story of Moses.
Exactly. He, right? He appoints Joshua.
He appoints Joshua, son of Nun. At first, he has Aaron, who's helping him out. Aaron dies during his lifetime. And so the Israelites want to know who's going to succeed Moses. And Moses writes in his testament, in his will, that Joshua, son of Nun, is going to be the one who succeeds him.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's this theme that is continuous. There, it's either a series of messengers that are living at the same time who appoint one another, you know, or it is somebody who comes to them claiming the will, claiming that their name, their person has already been identified and spoken and talked about by a previous prophet or messenger.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like with Jesus.
Oh. Like with Jesus. But before we get to Jesus, let's talk about Moses.
Okay.
Okay, because we're still in the Old Testament.
Yes.
What happens with Moses? The Israelites are enslaved, and they've been enslaved for a very long time. Yeah. And Pharaoh is abusing them and he's using them and he's making them work and he's raping. The Egyptians are raping their women and they are murdering their men. And what happens?
God appears to Moses in the burning bush.
God appears to Moses and he tells Moses to go forward to the Israelites and to tell them that, you know, he is their savior. He is this prophet. And when Moses goes and does so, the Israelites, 600,000 of them, they believe in Moses, even though Moses grew up in the castle of Pharaoh, right? And in the house of Pharaoh. So why is it that they believe in Moses? They believe in Moses because they already had been waiting for so many years for the appearance of this prophesied savior who was to help them and rid them from that which they are in.
Okay.
And there are many narrations in Judaism and also in Islam that spoke about how the Israelites would continuously ask and beg God for the relief and to hasten the relief. And when they finally repented enough, God sent forward Moses as a fulfillment for the prophecy that was given to them by Joseph.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Abraham appoints Isaac. Isaac appoints for all of his family members in the Old Testament,
Jacob.
Jacob appoints Joseph. Even Jacob appoints the one who comes after Joseph when he puts his hands on who?
Ephraim.
And then what happens?
And then the Israelites go into this long period of, in their history, that's when they're in Egypt. They've migrated.
Joseph tells them, though, on his deathbed, in one narration, he says to them, after I die, you guys are going to be enslaved.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very famous Jewish narration. He tells them that very many bad things are going to happen after I pass away. And then he gives them the prophecy and tells them that there is this man who will come. His name is Moses, who is going to, you know, take you out of Egypt. And then he tells them that, you know, make sure that when he does take you out of Egypt, that you don't leave my body in Egypt.
Yes. And then
then for that reason, in the Islamic narrations and in the Jewish Christian narrations, when Moses is getting ready to leave, he can't leave until he takes, fulfills the, you know, the request of Joseph from before, and he takes the body of Joseph out from Egypt and to the promised land.
Yeah, yeah. And he's in that caravan where they were led out, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've established that this, one of the ways to identify who the person is, you know, who's truly from God, you know, to verify their claim, they have to have been, you know, basically appointed by God.
Yeah.
Either the living messenger in the time informs them, or if they're in a time period where there's so much oppression and the people don't have access to that living messenger, like was the case in the time of the enslavement of the Israelites in the time of Moses, then when Moses does come, he has to claim the prophecy, he has to claim the will, he has to say, guys, you remember when Joseph made that prophecy? You know how nobody has ever claimed it before me? I'm the one who was mentioned by Joseph, and he's the first claimant, he's the only claimant to the will. And when he does that, or to the prophecy, and when he does that, then that is a sign of his truthfulness.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's an interesting situation that you brought up, where there are these times throughout history where a living messenger is not always available because there, like, circumstances have happened where there's a long period of punishment or waiting for the deliverer to come, the savior to come. So I guess it's happened several times throughout history where you don't have the living messenger necessarily, but in those cases, it's always written. It's always left in a will so to speak, of the prophet or messenger who came before. They always...
Well, you always have on the planet a living messenger.
Yes.
You always have one in every day and age. But it's just sometimes the people don't have access to them.
Or sometimes they've lost belief in them or something.
Sometimes they lost belief in them, or sometimes they just don't have access to
sometimes
them.
Sometimes there's an
occultation. There was a living messenger in the time of Moses. Do you know who it was?
Who?
It was Shu'aib. Jethro.
Jethro, okay.
Yeah. And Jethro is the one that Moses, when he leaves the Israelites for many years, who does he go to? He goes to Midian, and he goes to Jethro, and he learns from him. And Jethro is a man of God. He's a messenger from God. He ends up marrying Moses to his own daughter because he recognizes who he is. And he teaches Moses many, many things. And it's even thought that Moses actually, had taken from Jethro this idea of wearing the little black cube that the Jews do today on the forehead, because the cube symbolizes the Kaaba, and Jethro was upon the religion of Abraham, and Abraham was the first one who established the Kaaba, or the black cube, as a house of worship of the Lord. And so it is thought that, and by many Jews, that he was actually affected by this visit, this time period where he spent with Jethro. So clearly Jethro was a hujja. He was a proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Israelites didn't have access to him because he was in Midian. Yes. They were in Egypt. They were enslaved. Jethro was free.
Okay. So I understand there has to always be a living messenger of God. It's a necessity, but sometimes people just don't have access to that messenger. And so for that reason, in those cases, there's still a way for them to know which is the written proof.
Exactly. Okay. So let's now look at Jesus in the New Testament, and let's see if this hypothesis that we're bringing forward, that the living messenger, the messenger has to be appointed or claim a will, if this is verified by Jesus or not, and we really need Jesus to be like very, very, clear about this. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know that Jesus claimed, that he was mentioned by Isaiah, but let's see if Jesus was even more clear about this concept of the will in a way that, absolves anybody from any shadow of doubt.
Okay. Sure.
All right. We're going to look over here at the scripture. And this is John 5, verses 31 through 47. The title of this called Testimonies About Jesus. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses. on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?
Okay.
Okay, wow. That's really important now.
Okay. Yeah.
Extremely important, because Jesus, in this little section that's called Testimonies About Jesus, it is all about the will. Mm-hmm. It is all about that which we are talking about. Jesus is mentioning there four different things that are testifying, or four different people that are testifying about him. Mm-hmm. He's claiming that John the Baptist testified to him.
Yes. And that's a famous, we know the baptism scene where John baptizes Jesus and he, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And yes, that's clear. But
he claims that God Almighty appointed him.
Yes.
He's claiming that the scriptures appointed him.
Yes.
And he's claiming that Moses appointed him.
Yes.
And so essentially what Jesus is saying, he's saying that Moses is going to be really angry with the Israelites and declare himself innocent of them. Moses is going to declare himself innocent of all of the Jews that don't accept Jesus. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled, right, mm-hmm. that which was required of him, because he came forward and he told them that Moses, the one who Moses had spoken about, mm-hmm. is him. He identified himself from the scripture and from the words of Moses. And Jesus is calling out the Jews and telling them, if you really did believe in the scriptures, which you guys are studying, then you would have believed in my claim, because that which God told you would happen has happened. And he whom the prophets and the messengers spoke to you about has come.
Yeah.
Because I fulfilled that. I identified myself as that.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying that for a person, a messenger, to come forward and to just say, I am a messenger of God, like some people used to do, where they come forward and they just say, you know, I had a dream where God told me that this or this or this. This is not worth anything.
Yes, he's saying that's a completely false way of identifying somebody you cannot trust. Completely false way.
Any dawa that has a messenger, a caller, who is calling people to something, and he doesn't claim that his name was mentioned by a previous prophet or messenger, his call is worth nothing.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus is saying.
Yeah, it's very clear.
Jesus comes forward now and he says, the living messenger that was in the time, John the Baptist, he publicly appointed me in front of you and he made it clear. Mm-hmm. And because you guys chose to follow that light, that lamp, John, mm-hmm. you were able to identify me.
Yeah.
And he's also claiming that the scriptures are appointing him, because the previous prophets and messengers spoke about him.
Yes.
And so he's claiming to be the one that was mentioned by Isaiah, yes. and he's claiming to be the one who was mentioned by Moses.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, wow. That's an extremely important piece of scripture there. Yeah, because in it we have the ways to verify that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And also he gave us a very important clue about how not to identify a person from God. So we get both in one speech. That's amazing. It's very important.
It is extremely important. And I don't think it gets clearer than that.
No, it's
I mean,
very clear.
I think that is so extremely clear. And so Jesus, once again, he fulfills the same sunnah that Moses and the prophets had done, you know, by being appointed by the living messenger, John, And even there's the scene, you know, he says that the people don't hear the voice of God, you know, but he was appointed by God. And that's also evident and clear in his works. And we also have that scene where, you know, there's this voice from the heavens where God publicly appoints Jesus too and says that this is
my son with whom I'm well pleased.
Exactly. In the same way that God appointed publicly Adam, but because of the hard hearts of the people, they couldn't hear this voice. So Jesus is appointed by God. He's appointed by John the Baptist. He's appointed by Moses, and he's appointed by the scriptures, by Isaiah and the other prophets.
Yeah, it's extremely clear and extremely important to take note of this, because not being aware that this is the way that God operates and this is God's system just leads people astray. So,
Absolutely. So now Jesus is pretty much saying that's sufficient. Like, now we have to follow, because no false claimant, you know, will claim the appointment. Because if somebody else could have claimed to have been the one whom Moses prophesied, you know, to come, then that would make Moses's prophecy pointless.
Yes.
What's the point of it?
Yeah.
What's the point of Isaiah mentioning it if anybody could just come and claim it?
Exactly. Then you cannot even believe in them if their prophecy is not safeguarded by God.
Absolutely. Scripture would be pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So now that Jesus claimed it and Scripture is not pointless, it has a point, then it must be safeguarded by the one who gave the Scripture, right, or gave the prophecy. Mm-hmm. So it's safeguarded by God. Jesus claims it. Jesus fulfills the prophecy at the very beginning of the episode. You know, we were still, you know, unsure. We had to still remain, you know, Jewish for the sake of this exercise. But now that Jesus has fulfilled the testament, now we must be Christian. We have to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm convinced.
Great. All right. Let's move on now to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Okay.
Prophet Muhammad, what does he do? Does he just appear in the middle of nowhere and say, I'm a prophet and that's it, and believe in my words? Or did he have to do the same thing that Moses did and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus and all the messengers that came before? Well, we find that in the Quran, he says, he's commanded by God to say, you know, that he is the one who was mentioned in the scriptures. His name is mentioned in the Torah and in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, Muhammad says specifically on the tongue of Jesus that I am that comforter, that second coming of a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second Jesus that Jesus said he would send forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some Christians, they have reinterpreted the Bible and have for a very long time now sought to cut off any future messenger from coming by claiming that the comforter that Jesus prophesied was to come is the Holy Spirit that is upon all Christians. And we have to do a very, specific, intense discussion episode about how the comforter is not the Holy Spirit in the sense that Christians think that he is, but rather it is the coming of another messenger, and how the coming of that other messenger has been fulfilled in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's referencing that very specific speech that Jesus gave.
Muhammad references that very specific speech in the verse, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. And when Jesus said, basically, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name is Ahmed.
Mm-hmm.
And Ahmed is one of the names of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Prophet Muhammad has fulfilled and done the same thing that Jesus did. Muhammad says, I'm appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Jesus said, I'm appointed by God.
Yes.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says that he was appointed by the previous prophets and messengers, and specifically Jesus, and says that his name is in the Torah and in the Gospels. And Jesus says that the scriptures testify to him and that he was appointed by the previous prophets and messengers, John the Baptist, Moses, and the scriptures that came before.
Yeah.
And so he's following exactly in the same footstep.
Yeah, it's really identical in the way that Jesus came forth and identified himself. He's using the same criteria. He's using the same method that God, as we can see throughout time, even before Jesus, was using. So yes, it's matching exactly. He's coming forward and he's saying that I was mentioned by Jesus. I'm the one that you've been waiting for.
Yeah. And each one is not calling really to something different. They're calling to the same thing, which is the worship of one God. And each one of them is verifying, not belying, the messengers that came before.
Yes, exactly.
So Jesus is saying, yeah, Moses is real, you know, and he really was from God. And he's backing him up just like, you know, they prophesied of his coming. And the same thing with the Prophet Muhammad. He is saying that Jesus was the best prophet of all time.
Yeah.
And there's even a whole surah that comes down that's named after the mother of Jesus, Surat Maryam.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And he confirms the Torah and he confirms the Gospels just like Jesus confirmed the Torah. So each one that comes and claims the will is also confirming the scriptures and the messages of the previous ones that came.
Yes, yes, exactly. And there are some corrections, like as you mentioned before in previous episodes, it's not that every single detail or understanding that they had previously is exactly the same, but they're confirming that these were the true messengers from God, and they're confirming their stories, and it's like an updated version. So when
they're confirming their books, but also throughout time period, like the rabbis, the priests, the imams, what they do is they give false interpretations, or they make mistakes, or scripture is lost or corrupted. And because of these things, each one that comes, he verifies the book before. So Jesus came and he said, the Torah is real.
Yes.
You know? But you guys have some wrong understandings, and he corrects it.
Same thing exactly.
With the Prophet Muhammad. Yeah. Torah is true. Gospel's true, but there are some misinterpretations and there are some corruptions that took place. And the same thing happens after that.
Yeah, but it's a continuation. It's clearly a continuation of the religion of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And that brings us to this current day now. Okay, so now, you know, great, you know, thousands of years ago, Moses claimed that somebody, you know, hundreds of years before him, you know, and okay, but this is thousands of years ago. And Jesus, this is like something that's 2,000 years ago, you know. Okay, well, Muhammad, well, this is something that's 1,400 years ago, you know. Well, what about today? What about this day and age that we're living in, you know? So to find the truth in this day and age, we have to presume now that the truth must be found in a man who exists today, because God always had somebody before. So either these stories, they're true or they're false. I mean, really, we can't be hypocrites about it, you know. Now we became Muslim. Now we've accepted the Prophet Muhammad, right?
Yes.
Because he's verified those who came before him, and he came with the same criteria.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then what do we do about today? If we believe that God sends a messenger in every day and age, and these books and these stories are true, then there has to be somebody that's here today. There has to be a divinely appointed guide. Mm-hmm. The Prophet Muhammad, even now, who we accept, has said that whoever dies and doesn't know the Imam of his time has died the death of ignorance. So what does that even mean? That means that for every day, there's an imam. If you don't recognize who this imam is, then when you die, even if you claim to be a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian, you're going to die as an idol worshiper.
Wow, that's a very sobering warning. And it makes me think, like, God, I mean, God is just, so there has to be a clear way, like, which is what we've been discussing throughout this episode. Like, there has to be a clear way that people can know who is the Imam of the time. Otherwise, they would die upon ignorance.
And you ask most Muslims, like, who's the Imam of the time, whether Sunni or Shia, and most of them will say, Imam al-Mahdi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mahdi. Sunnis will say, I don't know, you know, who the Imam currently is, but we do know that the Imam that is supposed to come is Imam Mahdi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they'll say Imam Mahdi. And Shia will always say that the Imam of the time is Imam al-Mahdi Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally. And they believe in the 12th Imam and all of the 11 Imams that came before him because they were appointed in the will of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the reason why they believe in him. Because the Prophet wrote a will and he identified in the writings, in the scripture, who will be coming after him, who is divinely appointed in the same way that Joseph pointed out and named Moses, in the same way that Moses names Jesus and John the Baptist names Jesus, in the same way that Jesus names Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad has to identify who's coming after him.
Yes.
And he does so. And we have it in the narrations. And he appoints very clearly 12 imams that come after him. And he writes a will. Mm-hmm. And in this will, he appoints the 12 imams. And then he says, and then there's going to be 12 Mahdis. And he gives the names of the first three Mahdis.
Yes.
Abdullah, mm-hmm, and Ahmad and Al-Mahdi.
Yes.
And so we have to assume that this will of the Prophet Muhammad, in which he names these people, is also safeguarded. Yes. Because if it is not safeguarded, and anybody could claim it, then the whole will is pointless. And the very mentioning of the names of the people that are going to come after him is pointless.
Yeah.
But we find the opposite. We find that the Prophet Muhammad, on his deathbed, he says, bring me a paper and pen so that I may dictate to you that which, if you hold on to it, you will never go astray. So the will, whoever holds on to it, will never go astray. Why? Because it has in there the names of the people that once they come, they will claim it, and nobody can claim it beforehand. It's just God's divine protection for the system, just like he did with Moses. Nobody ever came before and claimed to be that character, else the Israelites would have never believed Moses. They would have said, oh, he's just another false claimant, right?
Yeah, of course.
And you know, the same thing with Jesus and Muhammad. And now you have here the will being that which the Prophet emphasizes, if you hold on to it, you will never go astray.
Yes.
And then you have these names, mm-hmm, Abdullah, Ahmad, and Al-Mahdi.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of our entire dawah and our belief. Because what happened, Tiffany, as you know, is that there was a man who appeared, mm-hmm, whose name was Ahmad al-Hassan. And Ahmad al-Hassan comes out in 1999 from Iraq, and he claims to be the Ahmad who's mentioned in the will of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes.
And he says, this is my letter of appointment. And just like all those came before me with letters of appointment or claiming scripture, I'm claiming the scripture, I'm claiming the will. Here I am, I'm Ahmad.
Yes.
And the same thing for the name Abdullah. The name Abdullah has also been claimed by myself, who has come to the people and has said, in the same manner as all of those who came before, I came and I said that Abdullah, who is mentioned in the will of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this name is referring to me. I am Abdullah. And I come as a messenger alongside Ahmed and from Ahmed and also from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I come in the same manner, claiming the scripture, just like the Prophet did, just like Jesus did, just like Moses did.
Yeah.
And so now, because of this will, people are obliged to follow it. If they don't follow it, then they are just in the same manner, like the people that Jesus was describing, the Israelites, whom read the scripture, but they don't believe in it.
Yeah.
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 Or, and just like the people whom the Israelites, whom Jesus told them, Moses will be a witness against you on the day of judgment. Ahmed, who claimed the will, in one of his speeches, he said, and we're going to play that part of the speech at the end of, just that part, in the end of this episode, where Ahmed al-Hassani salam, he says that on the day of judgment, it is not he who's going to, complain against the people, but rather it is his father who's going to do so, Imam al-Mahdi, and it's also the Prophet Muhammad, and it's also Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the Imams who will testify on his behalf and testify against the Muslim nation because they abandoned the will of the of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah. Well, I think it's I think it's very important to consider if you believe in these prophets and messengers, then you can't pick and choose. You have to believe in what they testified to as being God's way of God's system of letting the people know, informing the people of who is the messenger which he sent forth. And it's very clear that this system of leaving a will or appointing the next person is God's system that he had given throughout time. And this is the clear way which we have to know who is truthful and who is false. So we can't claim to believe in these prophets and messengers and then disregard what they said. And if you do follow it, you find that the chain of successors on the earth leads you straight to this call.
God bless you, Tiffany. Thank you so much for joining me today. We'll stop there. And I think we've left enough food for thought for the viewers for today. And we will meet again, inshallah.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for everything that you taught me today.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
ولن أشكوكم إلى الله بل سيشكوكم جدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لأنه وصى بي وذكر اسمي ونسبي وصفتي وسيشكوكم آبائي الأئمة عليهم السلام لأنهم ذكروني باسمي ونسبي وصفتي ومسكني